Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders. The show's name is Bridging Wisdom with BBS Radio Station 1. And tonight I have someone with me that we have just recently crossed paths in this lifetime. She was on as a caller and a visitor at my house last week with Giddy Reads, and she ended up staying at my house till 6:30 in the morning. Doing some work. So her name is Valerie Keene. Hello, Valerie.
Well, hello, everyone.
And we're going to share tonight experiences, because everybody's experience and the walking on the path is different in the light. And Valerie's question to Gibby and I was, how do you find your gifts? Correct?
Yes.
And how do you know when you have come across your gifts? So from there, Valerie, do you want to share a little bit about what your experience at Strength and Hope was for the 8 o'clock until 6:30 in the morning?
Sure. For myself, I would have to say that I've always been kind of teeter-tottering with what my natural abilities were that I knew I had. And Catholicism, because that's how I've been raised, and I am practicing Catholic. So it's always been difficult for me to determine what my gifts were and really how to use them in a spiritual way, and one that was in tune with God's will and what would give him glory and not myself. So particularly recently, I would say in less than the last 6 months, I really had been struggling and praying and wanting to get some answers, because you yourself, you know, it's like that line in Harry Potter where he says, well, I'm Harry, I'm just Harry. Well, in my case, I'm Val, I'm just Val. So for me, it's always been, well, this is who I am, so I didn't even know how to recognize things that I had within me as gifts or abilities, because they were such a part of me that I didn't know how to say, well, this is this and this is that. So after the show, I was able to really get those answers with Kathy, and I have been totally elated ever since.
One foot on the ground and one foot on.
Yeah. So it has been quite a week.
Yeah. You were one of the type people that are prove it or stay in reality. And when I had you lay down to do some trancing or deep meditation, vision questing, you yourself didn't really realize you were there?
No, I didn't. Not at all.
What experience did you get from that?
To know finally that I did achieve something really made me feel good, because it was so subtle. Everything was just really subtle. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything that was necessarily recognizable. Like, you could say that while I was laying there with my eyes closed and I saw the dark, it was because the room was dark. You could say that. I could say that when it went to gray later on and I was seeing the swirling spiral, you could say that that was a trick of light that was in the room. But I know that's not the case in either one. But yet, when you're there, you're not sure. So, you know, but to have the encouragement that that really was something and that meant something, that made me feel really good. Mm-hmm. It made me feel, you know, that I did have the tools all along,
right,
to do that. And then later, when you had me sit and I gazed into the candle, that was easier. Because then I, and you said to me, you said, think of it like when you're taking a test and you get the first answer that pops into your head, that's always the right one. And that made a lot of sense to me because there's a feeling that comes with that. I can't really describe it, but there's a feeling that comes with it that's, it's a knowing. Like you know that 1 + 1 = 2. You just know that it's 2. You know? So, that made a lot of sense to me. And once I got to that point, the rest of it fell into place. And everything has been really falling into place.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It really is.
It's different with each client or each person. Nobody can tell another person what, or, I mean, I could have told you, you are this or you are that, you're a light worker or you're a warrior or you're a, you know, just, you know, but that would be you making your own destiny or self-fulfilling prophecy from my words.
Exactly.
So as I ask you different things or symbols and ask you to give me feelings and become that symbol, like, for an example, I put you up on a diving board, up on a cliff.
Yeah.
And then I said, are you going to need a push to get off that cliff? And then you had, I said, where are you now? Because you were quiet. And you said, 1 foot is on the, touching the water with my toe. I said, well, where is your right foot? Your left foot. And you said, it's still up on the cliff. I said, very good. Because that means you are balancing, keeping 1 foot grounded and then flying high.
That's right. And then I laughed because I said, gee, this is a very awkward position to be in.
Yeah, that was so good.
Because the picture that I had was, do you know the cliff divers in, I guess it's in Mexico?
Uh-huh.
And they're at the top of the cliff and then they dive down. It was that type of a cliff and that type of diving. But for me, I like to have my toe in the water before I go into the water. I don't usually jump right in. And all of that was so significant.
Right.
But for me, there was a beach at the bottom, and it was in a, in a cove. And it was just a beautiful, pleasant day. And everything that I said
from
really had a meaning.
In the dark to the swirls gray to the midday.
To the midday.
Ask you what time of day it was,
That's
and it
right.
was midday.
Mm-hmm.
So you went from dark, which is protection, and black is protection, and unsure, or and then the gray is in between in the middle, swirling. Then you went to midday, which is right in the middle. And then I gave you a stone. Then I told you to mold it.
The
I told you to mold. The stone came from Mexico. Means beauty come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that stone's like putty.
That's right.
What'd you do to the stone?
I dented it. I totally dented it.
It was a smooth, round, brown stone.
It kind of had
and
the
I
finish
told her,
like a river rock, you know?
And it's round like an egg. It's got little black, brown speckles, light tan speckles in it. And I kept telling her she was molding it like clay. And when she came out of the, at 6:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I said, what does the rock feel like? Put the rock down. I didn't tell her anything but to put the rock down. I said, now pick the rock up. She goes, it feels like a rock. But before she put it down, she said it was hot. She put it in her other hand, and it was cold, and then it got real hot.
Yeah.
And so then she put it down and picked it back up. I said, now examine the stone and see if you molded it like clay. And sure enough, it's got a big, like a thumbprint dent in it.
Yep. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Because it felt more like an egg. In the roundness of an egg, it had that feeling to it. And then it was, dented.
Yeah.
Big time.
Now, the reason I ask different analogies for people, I might say, give me an animal, give me an object in a house, let's go out into the universe, and let's be a piece of something in the earth. It depends on the person, you know, where and what they need guidance of.
That's right.
You know, like when you chose a dog,
mm-hmm.
and I said, now become the dog. Look in the dog's eyes. Now the eyes of the dog are you. Now you're the dog's eye. And I asked you what you were giving me a descriptive adjective. You said, what is she doing?
You know, but that popped you out into another sphere.
It did. It did. And it was funny because to me, the dog that I had picked was my Siberian Husky that I'd had. And she was just such a wonderful dog. And Kathy said to look into her eyes and what color her eyes. And I was in blue. And, you know, one minute I'm the dog, next minute I'm me. And it was so funny. And, you know, it's like you're staring at this dog and the dog kind of just cocks its head and looks at you like, what is she doing? Yeah, like confused.
But you were loyal.
Yeah, it said that I was loyal.
And then the dog turned very plush.
Oh, she was. She was totally plush.
And then you felt goofy with happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you let go of the dog, you were very content.
Yes.
And I told you that the dog or the animal represented what other people see in you.
Yeah.
Because you're choosing a dog that's a man's best friend.
Yeah.
So that's how people view you as a person.
And I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
It's really nice that people think of me that way.
Yeah. And then also I want to touch on your, you said that you wanted to be sure where you were going when we first started. That you wanted to, you don't just jump into anything. You have to touch it and test it first to make sure you're safe. That is good for at, you know, letting yourself know discernment.
Right.
To discern the spirits, discern the ways life is with the spiritual world out there. And then you said it, blood, that it was part of who you were. And then I asked you a color.
Right.
And it was blue and it was royalty.
Yeah, because I said royal blue,
mm-hmm.
which is my favorite color.
And you gave me the word. I said, how does that make you feel? And you said, very calm and then very cool. And then I threw out a bunch of numbers really fast because I saw numbers around you.
That's right. Because I've been seeing a lot of numbers and repeated numbers a lot lately in particular.
But what's so neat about it is I saw a 2-5, a 6-4, a 3, and a 2-1. Which was your birthday, your brother's birthday.
That's right.
And it was the Trinity and a 777 hitting the jackpot.
Yeah, which so, it would be nice.
You hit the jackpot. You got your questions
yep,
answered to
I sure did. I sure did. It was awesome.
So another thing I wanted to touch base on is when we know that water is relationships, you touched your toe in the water.
That's right.
To test it. So you test your relationships first, which is a good thing because you don't just jump into any relationships. You make sure that they're what in on the path that you're on and what you're looking for. And then you went down to the beach and stood there.
Yeah.
And the water was going over the rocks. So therefore, if you think of what rocks are, that's the baggage or that's the rock, the solid foundation
yeah.
that we build things on from the rocks. And the water was not wavy, but it was going in and out very gently.
Right. It wasn't like waves that are like surfer waves or anything like that. It was just kind of calm.
So if you think of that with relationships, like, you've got a good solid foundation of friends and a community.
Yes, I do.
And
yes, I do.
Yeah. And then also, it was a powerful feeling that you had. It was really awesome, you said. Wasn't really rough.
No.
It was very easy to feel, which was you going more into the sink of the vision quest.
Right. Because think about when you're on a beach by the sea and it's just a beautiful, beautiful day. And you're just there in the moment enjoying it. And it's just so calming and relaxing and beautiful and serene, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's just.
But you also say very respectable, like you respect the ocean.
Yeah, you have to because it's such a powerful thing. You have
and
to respect it.
And people are very powerful in their own way.
Yep.
And respecting was a good answer.
Yeah.
So you said it wasn't on the hot side and it had a breeze, which the breeze and the wind is the spirit of God.
And I said, what does it smell like? And you said, real matter of fact, salt. Well, salty. And doesn't God say we're the salt of the earth?
Yep.
And the light of the world.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you wrote down a few things if you want to discuss them on air.
That's what I wrote here. Part of any house.
You can read it out loud.
I had here, as part of any house, John's sage candle represents illumination.
Okay, so stop there. You lit the sage. I have all kinds of candles in the house, and I let you, Val, pick a candle. And John is your son.
Right.
He cuts my hair, and that's how I met you.
That's right.
And he uses the sage candle to cleanse and purify before we do any kind of ceremony, ritual, prayer, or whatever.
That's right.
And you chose that to stare into because you needed some anchoring.
Yes.
And and I asked you what it felt like or represented. You said illumination. Now, what does illumination represent to you?
Illumination, to me, was a spiritual illumination.
Uh-huh.
And being able to, finally have the light on, be able to find your dark, it's hard to find your way. But when everything is illuminated, it's so much easier. You can move all around, unencumbered.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had put here spiritual illumination, awakening.
There you go.
Light, brightness, warmth, cleansing, total positiveness.
Yay.
Because that's to me what it is. And, you know, for me as a Catholic, you know, Christ is positive, you know? He's positive.
Yeah.
He's the light. The light is positive.
The anchor.
Yeah. Yes, we've come to find out that I am the anchor.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit.
And, then we had the part here. It said, I was holding the rock, and then you had mentioned to me, you were talking about your dad's death. And all of a sudden, I had looked up.
I had held that rock during my dad's death, and I had held that stone during his funeral.
That's right.
And then, okay.
And I had looked up at the fireplace, and you have to imagine now that the room was pretty dark.
It's all candles.
And we had all the candles lit up on the fireplace. But when I looked up to the fireplace, Kathy has a box on the fireplace.
Where you put your prayers in
on the one drawer inside, and then the bottom is when they're answered. So I turned my head and I looked, and this box looked like, do you know, like with a Soji screen, you know how it's made of the paper?
Uh-huh.
And if you have light behind the Soji screen, it's just very illuminated, and say if there's something behind it, like a person standing, or if there's a pattern on mm-hmm. the Soji screen, that's what you see, but the rest of it is the light.
Right.
Well, that's how it looked to me, but it looked like maybe a statue of, like, say, maybe St. Joseph or something, mm-hmm. the outline of it, where he's holding the Christ child.
Uh-huh.
That was what it looked like. And you said, wow, you're like,
because
that's really something.
I gave that prayer box to my father right while he was dying to write his prayers in.
Right.
When they got answered, he would write his answers. And when he passed away, I got that box back. And the stone you were holding, you looked up and saw, and on top of it is a picture of my dad and a pewter.
Right.
So when you got up closer to it, what was it?
When I went up closer to it, it's an ivory front. It's not like you could see through it. There wasn't anything to illuminate the back of it because the front of it is ivory. And it's a carved impression of Christ holding a man. And on top of it is her dad's picture with his very smiley face.
And you can't see it because it's only about the size
it,
of a thumb.
Especially in the dark.
Yeah.
So it was really incredible to have been able to see that.
Amazing, isn't it?
It was just amazing. And Yep. And then we found out then after that that the rock was dented. That's my notes. I'm just reading my notes that I had there from the from the quest.
I know you've got some friends listening.
Yeah.
You want to say hello?
Hello, Laurie and Shell.
And there's the call-in numbers if you want to give them or you want me to read them.
Hold on. Now you'll have to read them because I'm don't have my glasses on.
The toll-free number is station one. You're listening to Bridging Wisdom, which we are doing. That's what it's all about, bridging our wisdom of what we do and what you do. And the number is 888-815-9756. Line one is 530-327-7602. Line two is 530-413-4510. And line three is 530-413-4522. You can get these call-in numbers on www.bdsradio.com's main page, or you can click on Station 1, which you are definitely on right now listening to. We'd love to have some call-ins because afterwards, what happened with you got how we met. Tell them how we met. You were going to Mass, and you knew son didn't even know I was sick.
No.
About, and we had never even talked
It had
before.
To have been about maybe, point it must be about 6 weeks that I had initially met you in the shop for the first time.
Right.
Because John's like, you know, you really have to meet Kathy one of these days. And I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to meet her, you know. And so we finally met in the shop. I had brought my mom in this one day, and we were talking, and we all hit it off really well. And then a couple weeks later, I'm getting this nagging going, you got to call Kathy.
Because we've exchanged phone numbers.
Yeah, because we exchanged phone numbers. And I called, and I got her voicemail. So I left her message, and it was a Sunday. And Sundays for me are hard because my husband usually leaves for work. He works away from home. And I end up usually going to either the 5 o'clock or the 5:30 Mass, depending on which one I get ready for. So on my way, Kathy called me back. But she didn't sound like herself at all. She sounded way weak and just down in the dumps and not feeling right. You could tell. And she said that she was very sick, and I didn't know. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just really, really spoke. And I like to watch Dr. Oz. And all this information that I had been watching. That's right. And I had been talking about the antioxidants and everything. And I said, you know, you should really try and, you know, eat more berries and things that are full of antioxidants. And I told you I'd had a friend who had mesothelioma, and his dietitian had encouraged him to eat a lot of antioxidants to help boost his healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about detoxifying your body from all the preservatives and all toxins that we eat on a regular basis, and try to go with more organic food and more natural food, shop the perimeter of the grocery store and everything. And we were talking about that, and turmeric I had heard about had the, I believe it has the ability to shrink tumors. So I was encouraging you to, you know, try some of that. And I guess, oh, and I had told you that I had been reading Doreen Virtue's books, and, you know, I was saying that it would be a good thing to pray to St. Raphael because he's a healer. And, you know, it just, you know, kept going. So,
and this was before you wondered what your gifts were.
Yeah, this was before.
Yeah, so you already had the
listening. But you see, for me, that felt totally normal because I used to teach religious ed classes. And when I was teaching, the same thing would just kind of spew out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So, I guess it was, 2 weeks later maybe, I had another thing that I had to call you. So I called you, and you called me back. And you sounded like yourself again. Your energy was back. You were just doing great.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, wow, you know. I really.
We still hadn't seen each other
yet. Yeah, not yet. And I was like, wow. I was like, I really helped her out. I was like, I let God work through me. That was cool.
Yeah, because I had got on that juice, mm-hmm. that antioxidant juice.
And it really helped.
Through a friend of mine.
Yep.
And drank it and feel like a different person.
Yeah. Yeah, like you look like yourself again and everything.
I'm glowing. Yeah.
I know.
You are antioxidants. Pulsing through your veins.
So then, on Saturday.
That's right, on Saturday.
This is our second time to have met each other.
That's right.
And this is our third.
After Tuesday, we had the radio show with John and Gibby.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. We had a great time with that. And then on Saturday, I came over with Lori, and that was just an incredible experience. We had a great day, and toward the end there, I believe you really got helped out.
Yeah, we did. We sat in the front, and she sat knee to knee to me, and we mirrored each other and did some awesome healing,
yep.
laying on hands of my throat.
The Holy Spirit
cancer.
Was definitely coming
and
through.
And foreign language was flying everywhere, and you just kept chanting and praying.
Yep,
and
praying.
You were the anchor, and Lori is a great healer and a great, great gifted woman, I tell you. It was a blessing and a pleasure to meet her.
She's amazing.
I'd met her and Michelle maybe one time back 6 months ago or so, and she was led to come over and do
yep.
some work.
Yep.
It's just a blessing the way the community comes together
yep.
when somebody is in need.
Yep. Because we all feel that we know what it's like to not feel well. We all know what it's like to want to heal. And to be able to have your heart go out to a person and to intercede for them and to pray for them. And to be able to let God work through you that way, the way it happened on Saturday, was just an amazing and beautiful thing.
It was.
It was incredible.
But I was very guarded at first.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. I think that comes with the territory, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important. Because
she was, bless her heart, she's like, she just jumped right over there. She's not coming over to sit right in front of you. And then we just started our cleansing.
Yep.
Because it's always important, active listeners, to cleanse, to surround yourself and your shields and to, you know, work that way and do your prayers before you do anything. Because, and then when you break free of the prayer or the healings, centering yourself back and balancing yourself, and making sure that you're back with your own self and your own boundaries. Everybody has their own way of doing things. Everybody has their own way of working things. This one just happened to be where we married each other. If I had my hands underneath, if I moved them forward, she moved hers forward. Her eyes were closed. If I put my hands together up and down, she put her hands together up and down. We just mirrored each other. Now, Valerie, you were sitting there watching the whole thing, so...
It was incredible to watch. It was, you were in complete harmony and complete sync. There was just, it was so powerful to see. It was amazing. And to know that God was there and working, it was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way I could describe it to what somebody may have seen who's never seen anything like this before, would be in that Steven Seagal movie where they're working with the Native Americans fighting against the oil companies. And there's a scene where the Indian women are next across from each other, and they're going, and there's this whole powerful feeling you get from observing that,
mm-hmm.
and you can tell that they're really in such deep prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That I would say is the closest I could describe it of what I was able to see.
Right, we were out there because neither one of us pretty much remembered anything till I fell back after, I think your hands were on my throat.
No, Lori's.
Okay, and then afterwards when I came up,
yeah.
Your hands went
on. Yeah, because you grabbed my hands to put them on your throat.
Uh-huh, and then Lori's hands went on top of yours,
and
mine went on top of
yours. That's right.
That was like the closing
of it. The closing of it. Mm-hmm. It was incredible.
It's been different ever since, everybody.
Yep.
Active listeners out there. Hands-on healings as well as prayer, as well as positive thoughts. I haven't dwelled on this illness, and I just know by Valerie listening to God's call, ding-a-ling-a-ling, she calls me. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, I don't feel like answering, but I call back anyway because ding-a-ling-a-ling, God called me and says, answer that call.
Answer that call.
And I had only spoken to her once, and that was briefly in the hair shop. And, you know, when you feel so sick, you don't feel like talking to anybody, much less somebody you don't really know.
That's true.
Yeah, so I got on the antioxidants through, I ordered them from a friend, Michael, and it just went from there, changing my whole life. And
the juice tastes good.
Yeah, it does. I just got
some wicked stuff that you got to take. You're like,
but I did run out of it for 3 days, and I did have one of my bouts, and, you know, on Thanksgiving, I kind of wasn't feeling well, but I did break out in a rash, which was because I'm allergic to acidicity type stuff. So you got to be careful what you get. There's different kinds out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned to dilute it.
But you're not broken out anymore though, because it was like hives. You were much worse. It's gone away.
That one went right there.
Yep, and it's gone away a lot.
So being, I want to say a newcomer.
Yep.
Being a newcomer of, you know, broadcasting and being in the rim of speaking to so many people about the gifted world, which so many people are awake and are there, but there's so many different techniques, ways, and means. We all have to find our own niche.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to find our own ways, you know, and as a person, you know, as a guide that I do, you know, I could lay, say, Johnny down or Lori down or Michelle down or Jane down or Brad down, do the same thing, and it would be a whole different scenario.
Exactly.
You know, because you have to go with I speak a prayer that God speaks for me, does for me, acts for me, and thinks for me in all ways, shapes, and forms before I get started and move me totally out of the way.
Right.
And allow God's work to work through me, because it's a fine line out there. I see it as like a tightrope, you know. We've got to know one foot in front of the other where our feet are going to land without having to do that balance thing where one leg goes off on the side and then you have to pull it back,
mm-hmm.
because that ooey can get on there, you know. You can get into that kind of tools that are, you know, rusty or, you know, somebody else's tools, that we have to have our own tools. And like it's known, you know, everything is known within ourselves.
That's right.
Our knowledge is already written within us before we even get here for birth. It's written on our hearts, and our minds are there to pull up out of our hearts to speak it, do it, and act it, and be it. And it's like I was telling you the other day, I said, there's tools. You know, they could be rusty tools.
Right.
Or they could be, like a hammer could be used to hit somebody in the head, but it can also nail a nail in the wall.
That's right. It's all,
you know,
how
you
use
it. You have to know how to use it. And it's just like you pulling up Harry Potter. Remember that scene where Harry Potter and them got on those brooms?
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them couldn't draw them, some of them pull
some
up, and some of them just
natural. Choo.
Yeah.
Went.
Right. It's just like if you give somebody a little bit of knowledge, you know, a lot of people like to take other people's work and say, oh, I've, you know, read like the synopsis of somebody's work or listen to them on the radio, a little bit of their work, and then say, oh, I know enough about that, and then go out there and use it. Well, that's like trying to ride one of those brooms in Harry Potter, and it just takes off and throws you all over the place.
That's right.
And then people look at you after, at first you look like, oh, okay, I can do this. But really, unless you walk the walk, unless you talk the talk, unless you feel it and do it and see it, it's not anybody else's. It's everybody else's identity instead of your own.
That's right.
So that's why I'm real careful when I, you know, people want an intuitive consultation reading. For me to put out there, hey, I see you moving, I see you in a house with two ponds at it. Well, I could maybe see that, but if I spoke that then that could become your destiny right off the bat.
That's right.
And
that's
you would
what you're
be looking
for
and tell your realtor that, hey, my psychic or my, you know, and I don't like to be called a psychic. But anyway, it's okay, you know, it's okay to do that. I'm not saying it's not.
Well,
but even, it's a fine line is what I'm trying to explain.
And even when you read a book, like I had been reading some of Doreen Virtue's books, for me, it's how does this apply to me? And, you know, it's not like everything that everybody writes, you're going to take all of what they say is gospel, because that's not what it's meant to do. You know, you are a person who has discernment, and you should read it and say, how does this apply to me? What is it that I'm meant to know from reading this? And it's all an individual thing. And that doesn't even have to be a book on spirituality. It could be anything. It's just like we were talking before about how you could look at a painting.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to have a completely different experience about that painting than I'm going to have.
Right.
Because every person has their own experiences and their own
feelings
and everything that brings them to that particular moment with that painting. And it's the same thing with anything.
Yeah.
It's not just spirituality.
With, you know, and it's a circumstance thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the way we experience something. The way we experience the circumstance is how things are going to be handled.
That's right.
That's what I see.
That's right.
I've read this before, but you've never heard it, but I've read it on the air before, and I was going to read it to your friend Lori, our friend Lori. But I wrote this back in November 4th, 2002. Experience is a choice and circumstances aren't. Your application of a knowledge towards something is chosen by you. Right?
That's right.
Okay. The way you choose, you are going to experience it. Okay? How you have, in thought, observed, and obtained your use of this knowledge, whether productively gained or unproductively gained, is a matter of course. The direction or the intention of which your life took you through while actively practicing this feeling, which is your experience, has gained its effect. So if you think about that, I'm going to stop right there, because of what we are experiencing, how we experience things, affect the effect and effect is karma.
Yep.
Because karma is work. Just like us talking right now is karma. Just like me reading this right now is karma. And karma is something that affects with an A. And how we handle it is effect, which is what how we respond to the effects, which makes the swirl go round for the karma to be good, bad, or indifferent. Okay, so the state of a condition, which like cancer or whatever.
That's right.
Or you losing your home, connected with a circumstance of a situation, is of the fact of how you experience, how it's going to affect your life, is not a choice. So the circumstance is not a choice, but the conditions that already surround that circumstance is in its own house, its own characteristics. So by the circumstances and the facts in which are surrounded, we can only choose the way we use our knowledge of an experience in life.
That's true.
It's just like how you experienced what you went through here till 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, I can't feel what you felt.
No.
But it was a circumstance, because it was a situation. You
right.
wanted to get through something.
Right.
And so you were in a situation where you were on a teeter-totter. You were ready to crack or get off the pot.
Right. It was, I was feeling kind of like I was stuck.
Right.
Like, I felt like I was to the point where I needed something else to get me over that hump.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that was the way it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew.
Well, like with the shaman, it's working with split souls. You
right.
know, like
I and I was
you.
Very split.
Right.
I've been split all my life.
Well,
really.
We come down split because
yeah.
we're separated from the Creator.
That's right.
And so you feel more whole and put together.
I do.
I was trying to explain when you were here.
I do. I feel much more whole.
So I wrote down, it's rather a circumstance has already affected, whether good, bad, to suit the purpose, which is always a choice. We choose constantly all day long how to experience each and everything in our world by choices, which are a gift from God because he gives us the choice of free will.
That's right.
Okay, so I choose to reason my experiences to benefit a purpose with meaning for growth. If I gain the understanding of God's given knowledge, as in all things, there is always something to positively, productively gain with a purpose. Life is lessons. It's a school of learning, and learning is experiencing life, which is our sole purpose, and our purpose is unconditionally always a choice that surrounds us by our attitude, which are our consequences.
That's right.
Which is karma.
It's true.
Now, that brings me into another whole realm. People think karma. They think, ooh, karma. You know, I want to say something on that, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Okay. Because karma, to me, is something that I've been writing on. And it's not a punishment. It's what meets our effects of our actions.
It does.
And I've got notes here and there and everywhere, but karma is an active force.
It is.
Right?
It is, because to me, karma is if you do good in the world, that's a positive thing. You have positive karma, and you can easily have negative karma if you're doing everything in a negative way and doing the wrong thing. It is cause and effect.
Right. And it's also the action is the cause and effect. That's what I've got written down here. And action is doing something. Karma's connected, you know, in connection to metaphysics is meta is beyond.
Right.
You know, something out there. Like speaking it, Mom always said, if I'm thinking it, I might as well have done it. You know, because my energy is throwing it out there. And physics is the natural, you know, like science, the study of matter and motion, space and time. So we are matter, our energy, our bodies, who we are, our thoughts, our words are matter. And so if you think about that, the energy and the force, right? So it's the study of understanding how the universe behaves is physics. So then if you think of it's the state of being.
It is.
Okay, well, being, human being, okay, or what is the cause? Karma, cause. The cause, being,
the cause,
the cause. Okay? And that's the mental and the physical. But most people choose to follow the path of less resistance.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to rock that boat or get out there, or either they want to be all defensive or, you know, say, it's mine, you know. But the effects meet the action always.
It does.
Mm-hmm. And my mom always told me and my dad, store up your treasures in heaven. Mm. Because we're here in the spiritual experience. This is a material world. And we've got, like I still haven't unpacked, as you can very well see. a lot of people say my thumbprint's not in this house, but my spiritual print is in this house.
Yes.
I've got my altar very obviously there.
Yes.
And very, you know, no pictures on the wall or anything, because I feel that, you know, I can take pictures up and down off of my bookshelves, but it's very comfortable to me, and I don't want all that clutter.
Well,
I've gotten
house,
as simplified as I can possibly live.
Well, this house is a very calming, soothing house.
Yeah, it feels like, people tell me it feels like a sanctuary house.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. You know, it's a very comfortable place to be. You feel like you could be yourself here. You feel like you can just enjoy yourself and be calm and talk about anything. And it's great, you know.
Yeah.
And I've walked into places like my cousins. They had one house, and it was a very comfortable house. And then they went and had a house built further down the road, And it was a beautiful house, but I hated that house.
Oh.
And the reason I hated that house was because it felt dead to me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the people. The people are real nice. It was just, for some reason, this house had this dead feeling. And my father, to this day, my son, my husband, we all say that we hated that house for the same reason.
This house.
But my mother, she loved that house.
I don't know if you know, this house was loved to death.
Yeah.
But I had, his name is Wayne Lewis, and he came in and did a cleansing on the house. He's a grandmaster in probably 12 different things. He taught Chuck Norris. Mm. He was Chuck Norris's bodyguard. And he kept saying, he's on one of the BBS radio archives. I interviewed him back in 2008, I believe. And anyway, Wayne Lewis, he says, I'm getting all the negativity out. He says, you've got black negativity. That's what he called the mold. Because, I mean, I did some heavy work to get to where I am today. I say I lived like a monk, but then somebody told me that's a nun. So, anyway.
Which, a lot of the nuns I've met are very happy, peaceful people.
Yeah, I mean.
And if you ever look at a nun, particularly a very old nun, if you ever look at their skin, they have the most beautiful complexions.
Oh.
They're just so serene and peaceful, and they glow. It is true.
I'm a nun.
You're a nun.
I know. I am.
I remember.
I don't go out to, you know.
Going to the
blessed, the nunnery, but this is my nun house.
The Blessed Sacrament, the Sacramentine nuns who had been in Yonkers, and I think, I want to say, where are they now? I can't remember where they are now, but they moved a couple of times, and they had to leave where they were. But they were just such nice ladies, and we were there for when they had closed their property down. We were there for a final mass and everything, and my mother and I met this one little old nun that had been one of her teachers. And she was just this tiny little nun in her habit, and she was just so peaceful looking.
So nuns are basically, they just, like, to me, I always thought of me as being a monk, because for a long time, 10 days or so, I'll just turn off my phone or,
oh, sure.
You know, only do the radio station. Just people go, there
you
she goes, more, disappearing again.
You were more like a cloistered nun.
Like, what did I do today? I was meditating for 3 hours.
Yeah.
3 solid hours of meditation.
Yep.
And it's just something that I chose in my lifetime to do. And then I go out there and I'll do a lot of deep root readings or, mm-hmm. you know, work on people. That was a deep root reading you had till 6:30 in the morning. I won't just do a little quickie 30-minute mm-hmm. something, because it's so much, it's only giving a person a lick of a lollipop instead of giving them the whole lollipop, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's just so much out there to understand and to know, and each person is their own individual.
Right. And to even say, though, too, that I've known nuns and priests who are just totally dynamic people and who, you know, have their own professions and who do such amazing work for God. They're just incredible people. And, you know, I wouldn't not have them as part of my life. They were just amazing
people.
See,
I don't know any, I'm not meaning this in any way, but I don't know much about Catholic religion. I was raised, Lutheran at first, and then strict Southern Baptist at the same time. I was raised with a lot of Wiccan background, and, you know, at age 13, I got people know that I got the cameo from my grandmother, you know, from my great-grandmother that was as the Virgin Goddess kind of thing. Then my other grandmother on the other side is Cherokee. That's my shaman path.
Mm-hmm.
My father was 33rd degree Mason at age 28 and then quit when he found out what all it was really about. And so I've got all these things that are intertwined within, but I'm a devout, strong Christian, you know, but I'm non-denominational, because I believe that for me, that religion is a controlled environment, and I would choose to have a broader perspective to, you know, I love yoga, I love, you know, all those things, because I did, with before we married, I was doing yoga.
That's
you
right.
You know, and I do a lot of different, then I did shamanism, you know, the cleansing and purification of the house. Then I did the Holy Spirit and bringing in all the angels and saints. So it's a combination of it all.
Right.
But the channel that speaks for me is to me that if I don't look at it this way, God so loved the world that he gave God, Jesus, to come down. And all the focus is on Jesus in a negative manner, but why? Because he's the mystery. Nobody understands it. But if I didn't have his reincarnation, his spirit to evolve, to be my comforter, the Holy Spirit to live in me and work for me, if I have him do that, because he won't just step in. The Holy Spirit doesn't just step in.
No.
You have to ask to receive, seek and find, knock, the door will be open.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do that, and know, you know, to do that, then I've got something to gain.
You do.
And I've got Zion to go to, or the heaven's bounds.
Yep.
You know, but then sometimes I look at the stars and I go, well, gosh, you know, I see the spacecrafts, I see the aliens. And so it's a whole vast universe out there of all types of things. And there's so much for us all to learn from. And the more we, you know, try to gain power, that's the problem. And I'm powerless over myself and over, even say I want you to pick something up off the floor. You know, I can tell you to pick that up off the floor. If I say, can you pick that up off the floor? You could say, gosh, of course I can. I'm not an invalid.
Right.
But if I say, will you pick that up off the floor?
That's a whole different thing.
But I can't make you pick that up off the floor.
No.
But I can talk about you behind your back. I can slash you. I can knock you down to other people because you didn't pick that up off the floor.
That's right.
You know, and give people a bad outlook. Or there's another situation. You know, people take things, like you said, perspective, how somebody sees something in a painting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they draw their own conclusions if they're in a defensive manner.
Well, also there's people who...
Or if they are in a beautiful manner.
For example, I was driving back from church on Sunday evening. Didn't see the pothole, hit the pothole. Dad in his new car got upset that I hit the pothole. And I said to him, he's like, you know, going on and on about how I hit this pothole. And I said, well, why don't you do something proactive about the pothole? Why don't you call to get it fixed?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can complain, and Lori has taught me this. You can complain, and you can spin around in the same circle, and you can go to that negative place, but it's when you take that step to do something positive about something, because obviously you're not the only one who's hit the pothole.
Yeah. What is that?
If you're doing
the same thing over and over, expecting the different results,
right,
is the definition of insanity.
Right. And I have been on a quest to not be as insane.
That's awesome. Listen, Valerie, Valerie King, I like your last name.
Well, thanks. It's peachy, ain't it?
Yeah, well, you know, there's King that you call in. And anyway, we've got a couple minutes left. We stop at 5 till the hour. And I want to thank BBS Radio for being such a great host for our broadcasting Bridging Wisdom. And I want to thank you for coming into my home and sharing your experience that
you had. I
want
to thank you for helping to awaken me. Because I believe that there's an awful lot of people out there who are starting to wake up and who are getting ready to do God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And if this little show here in some way helps somebody, I think that's awesome.
Well, BBS Radio is the number one radio station on the planet. And also, it is all way types of radio stations. I want to put a plug out there that you can go to the main page of BBS Radio. You can go to the radio archives. You can become a member and subscribe to thousands of libraries of different shows on different topics, from people that do intuitive consultation readings, to UFOs, to government, to, you name it, BBS Radio has it, because they are where it's happening. And with that, I just want to say thank you. God bless everybody. and we're walking into the last month of the year, and it's been a wonderful 2010, and I hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving, because I am so thankful for each of you that listen in and give us support. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, Bridging Wisdom, and we are off the air. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.